Precious Heavenly Father,
Lord, we worship you. We recognize that we are insufficient, we are inadequate in ourselves. Lord, to Lord, share the treasures that are hidden in this wonderful Word of God. So, Father, I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge and preparation alone, and I ask that you have mercy on me. Lord, anoint my heart and my lips afresh, so that Lord God, you will cause the same anointing and unction, Lord, that is upon you to rest upon my heart and my lips, to enable me to teach and preach and deliver this word accurately as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the same unction and anointing will be on the ears and the hearts of all of my brethren, so we'll receive this word with the same accuracy, with the same power, with the same clarity, so that there will be an eternal work done in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds to be more illuminated by the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, helping us to be doers of all that we learn today, Lord, and not hearers only, so we bring forth fruit that is well-pleasing and that abides, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as your word goes forth, I duck under the covering of my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah. Let, Lord, power from your throne, Lord, go to back these words everywhere they go throughout the earth, including the hearts and lives of all the people that are watching us electronically. Lord, to break yokes, Lord, to set men free, Lord, to give strength to us in our feet and our ankle bones, to remove every veil, so we'll see you clearer than we have ever done before, in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to help me to be faithful, to deliver this word, Lord, faithfully. Lord, to do it to bring you honor and glory, so that, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, I will bring forth out of the treasure of your word this morning, both things new and old, causing the name of Jesus to be glorified, and we the sons of men to be blessed and edified, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. We're in Colossians chapter 3, and last week, we were in verses, no, 2 weeks ago, we were in verses 8 to 11, and we saw in our last lesson that because the glory of God is imminent, you know, the Bible says now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. So we can't afford to live in sin. Sin really is a waste of time. You know, Pastor said it some while ago, but now I see it and I understand it. It's really a waste of time. It's taking you away from the things that you're supposed to be doing. And it's elongating the time. Instead of hastening, we're elongating. We'll not elongate the time in Jesus' name. So there is no time for us to be living in sin. We're supposed to be awake spiritually, not asleep spiritually. You know, you're asleep in the night. You are awake during the day. Bible says we are in the day, we're not in the night. Amen. So that tells us, you know, that, you know, we really need to take very seriously the things that we hear and turn away from sin. And it shows us how, you know, that we can actually put off the sin nature and put on the divine nature, much the same way as I can put off my jacket and put on another jacket. Is you can actually wear Christ as a jacket. You can wear him as a garment. Amen. And how do you do that? By putting on the forces of divine love. In 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 to 8. And growing in divine love. So this we do by receiving the blood. Because the blood of Jesus Christ removes the old nature. Know that in the connection that exists between us and God. So that connection between us and God is now rendered free and clear. And then we can now, through that connection, receive eternal life, which is the divine nature, without which we cannot walk in divine love. It's a nature issue. Once you change the nature, the actions will change. It is frustration, you know, and self-righteousness to try and, you know, leave the nature and do the actions. You know, you know, and because Bible says if you fail in one, you fail in all. So it's important that we do it the right way, the way Jesus had put it this way. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There is a way. The yoke is eternal life. You must take that yoke of eternal life upon you, and then you now learn. The Bible says, add to your faith knowledge, virtue, temperance, patience. That's the learning part. But you must first take the yoke. Amen. When you take, so the yoke is what produces the love. You know, so it's easier. It's from inside out. After a while, it's not even you doing it anymore. You go into autopilot, and God is now the one doing it. Amen. We'll get to that as we go on in the morning, this morning. But the key here is that we receive that eternal life as a nature. We receive it into our, when we get born again. But that's not the only time we receive it. We now receive it as habitually into our spirits and use it for prayer. So when we pray in the spirit, we travail and in tongues, we release that life. It now comes out as wisdom and power. Life is the parent substance, but inside that life is light, which is the divine wisdom. Because you need wisdom to walk in love. And it's that divine wisdom now that directs your love. Helps you to accurately interpret situations and know what there are. And then the power gives you the enablement to now do what you correctly interpret. It's one thing to interpret the correct things, another thing to do it. So you need wisdom and power. It's very, very important. You know? So, and that's how we walk in love. So we need the blood to remove the old nature. Then we need the life of God using the word. Amen. And then we now release the power of God and the wisdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We also mentioned the importance of regular self-examination. We examine our thoughts, we examine our words, we examine our actions. We saw it last week. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, you know, filthy communication, lying. And these are things that by the grace of God we should overcome. And we're going to overcome them in Jesus' name. Of course, it's progressive. So you have to keep working at it. But the Bible says it must be overcome. And you know, there's a mirror side of this in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Same thing, lying. Same thing, lying, anger, wrath. It means that it's a perennial problem. No, your Christianity, you must be free from lying. The Bible says we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We do not walk in craftiness. We do not handle the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. So sometimes, particularly when sins are not public, we don't do anything about them. But God is saying that this is the time. The time is now that we should deal with them. Amen. So that we can allow Christ to show. How does Christ show? In under pressure. You know, you can think you're doing something well, but when the pressure comes and you pass, then you know, praise God. Jesus, thank you. You're very happy. You know, but you know, if you're walking in self-righteousness, or you're not doing things properly as you should, not diligent, when you don't do well, then it's a wake-up call. For you to go back and put the blood, the word, and the spirit in the correct order, and you'll get the result. Amen. Daniel got the result, brethren. Joseph got the result. Ruth got the result. You will get the result. I say you will get the result. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. Amen. We also saw in verses 10 and 11 of Colossians 3, how the God's word shows us an image of the new man. There's an image of the new man. The person you know of yourself, your local government, you know, your habits, the kind of food you like. That's the old man. There's a new man that is created in after Christ's own image that you don't know anything about, and you begin to know it progressively by revelation knowledge. That is very important, and we saw that last week. The Bible talks about in Revelation 22:19 if any man removes out of the word of God, they will remove his part from the holy city, they will remove his part from the things that are written in the book of life, they will remove his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things written in this book. So it means that in this book there are things written about you and I. Amen. That we are supposed to find out and walk in. Amen. To live out is part of living out Christ. What you are going to do, everything is coded there, brethren. God is smart. Everything is coded there for all human beings. Your part here, the career you are going to do, who you are going to marry, all that, everything is here. Amen. You're looking at me like, it's true. God's not an irresponsible creator. He has everything mapped out to a T, all the details. God is extremely diligent. And know you as you discover, like just like Jesus Christ came and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The same way you can know when something is fulfilled in your ears. The day you get the person that you're supposed to marry, there will be a witness from this book. Anything that I do that is correct, there will be witness from this book. Amen. So that and that's the will of God. So we saw that we get it through revelation, which is really the insight that the Holy Spirit shines in our hearts to show us who we really are in Him. It also shows us who other people are in Him. So we see ourselves, like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, we know no man after the flesh. So you don't see yourself as the way you normally see yourself. Otherwise, what you see will affect you. The Bible says, no, what if you are mindful of the wrong things, you will go back to Egypt. You have to be mindful of the right things. You have to put in your mind the right things, because if you are carnally minded, it is death. But if you are spiritually minded, you are life and peace. So we will be spiritually minded in Jesus' name. That's what he's saying. Be spiritually minded. Live by revelation. Don't live by sense knowledge. You know, otherwise you will not be able to fully respond to what God wants us to do. And we emphasize that in Christ, every human distinction has been removed. Race, sex, age, social status, you know, whatever else people use for social order and everything. Those things are not... you cannot use them to give one person an advantage over another. In Christ, we're all the same. That's what the Bible says. Christ is all in all. That means that Jesus Christ, once Jesus comes in, is a whole new ball game. Is a level playing field. Amen. Different level. You know, the only place where fingers are equal is in the spirit realm. If you look at it naturally, are fingers equal? Well, even your fingers don't appear equal. And people say, fingers are not equal. They are not equal naturally, physically. They're not equal intellectually. But guess what? They are equal spiritually. And you can, if you superimpose the spiritual on the natural and the intellectual, you will come out equal. In Christ, everybody is the same. Because we have the same potential, the same nature. We have the same blood. We have the same word. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same name. So there's no difference. Give God a clap offering. Amen. There's no difference. And that's why we should always see, the Holy Spirit emphasized that last week, that we should always see divine potential in all men. Don't let the way you see yourself or others be by the limitation. This is always, this is my infirmity. This thing is always, no. Why don't you look at the positive? See what God put there. You know, and that's what we do. You know, you see what God put in you. You know, you, and you deliberately, Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't look at anything else apart from Jesus. When you do well, give the glory back to Jesus. And look unto Jesus. When you fail, take your eyes off yourself, confess your sins, ask God for mercy, and look unto Jesus. Everywhere you must look unto Jesus. And get up and go again. And when you go again, it's not over until you win. It's not about, but it says, a just man falls 7 times. So it doesn't matter how many times you fall. The game is not over. Until I win, it's not over. We keep playing this game until I win. You know, when we're young, we used to do that. When you're young, we play a game. When you're now, we say, I'm not doing it again. But this one, once you win, you can win again and again and again. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So we must always see that divine potential in others and encourage that divine potential, because it's very important. No, sometimes people don't see divine potential in themselves. It's our job to see the divine potential. I say, you can do this. I can. No, you can do it. And encourage them. You know, because that's what Jesus does. Encourage them, remove obstacles to that potential showing. Help them to remove the obstacles that hinder that potential from showing. You know, so that they can now see themselves the way God sees them. And once they see it, they will never settle for less again. That's the will of God. Look at Matthew 12:20. Just quickly. Give me this in the New Living Translation. I'm not sure if you have that. But if you don't have it, I have it. New Living Translation. It's a very popular scripture, we know. All right, I'll read it. Okay, but give it to me in the King James. Let's read it. King James is the parent. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Now, this in verse 20 is what the scripture says about Jesus. Amen. He says he was fulfilling what was written in Isaiah 42, verse 3. But if you look in verse 15, what did he do? He healed men. Bible says he healed them all. Bible says this is in fulfillment. So healing is a manifestation of removing the obstacle. Because when you are healed, then you can serve God properly. Amen. When you encourage others, they can serve God properly. Do you understand? So you remove things that are holding people back. In this case now, Jesus healed. And that healing puts them in a place to continue. In the case of the woman that was caught in adultery, he prevented her from being killed. And then he that could condemn her now justified and said, go and sin no more. You know, so you keep, that's what God wants us to do. Keep seeing potential, keep helping others, keep helping ourselves. Keep, you know, don't let people's mistakes define them. No, lift up your head. You can do it. Get up. You can do it. Do it. You can do it. And that's what mommy does for us. That's what pastor does for us. They don't put you down, you know, after the straight correction, because you can't escape correction. But it's not the end of the world. It always ends with hope. Says God will help you. God will have mercy on you in Jesus' name. And pastor will just turn it into a joke. And everything is like, well, no, and you can forget about it. And sometimes, no, mommy will yap, you know, and next to me say, ah, Kule, what do you think about it? It's like, oh, I thought I was in the outer court. You know, even you yourself can't handle it. You know, so it's very important to know that we draw people close and let them see the way. So if you look at that, you will see, here it says in the New Living Testament, it says, he will not crush the weakest reed. Or put out a flickering candle. He will not cause, God doesn't do that. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. That's in Isaiah 59. So what does this mean? It means that God's picture of you, when an architect has a picture of a house, he needs materials to execute it, isn't it? Right? All right. So the contractor supplies that. And then he needs a builder to build it according to the specification that he, the architect, has. Amen. Now, when the house is standing and is finished, painted, ready for the occupants to move in, the architect looks at the house and says, right, I've done justice to that vision. Now, you know what? God has a vision about you and I. And right now, justice is not being done. Why? Because of our sin. In Isaiah 59, I won't turn there because of time, 13 to 14 and 16 to 17. You know, if you look at it, it says that, you know, because of our sin, he has separated. God has not too short to save, verse 1. And then he says that our sins have separated us from God. You know? And then he goes, give it to me in verse 16. And judgment is turned away backward. And what? Justice standeth where? Afar off. It's far off. You right now, we are far off from where God ordained. We're supposed to be like Christ. In our thinking, in our behavior, in everything we're doing, just like Christ. Not trying to be like Christ. He's the first begotten. We are our own number is there. So right now, justice stands afar off. So you know what he does? He does everything to bring it closer. Bring it closer. Bring it closer. So he will heal. Once he heals, bring it closer. Encourage, bring it closer. No, teach you to pray, bring you closer. You know, and every time brings you closer until the picture becomes the picture God wants. That's why he says he wondered why there was no intercessor. How do you do, you know? So he raised up, Bible says his arm brought him salvation. And then he now raises you and I and makes us part of that arm. Amen. So that we can now make intercession for ourselves and for others. And as we grow, we're doing justice. Justice is coming until we send that justice onto victory. That's the picture. Okay. God will help us in Jesus' name. We're going to get there, brethren, by the help of the Holy Spirit and by the mercy and the grace of God. Now, verse 12 is where we are this morning. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Next verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, so also do ye. Next verse. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Next verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen. Now let's go back to verse 12. Verse 12. It says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now the point here is this. He refers to the Christians in Colossae and us by extension as the elect of God. Now notice that Pastor told us this when we started the book of 1 Peter last year. You remember that God does not predestinate individuals. God predestinates events and then sets conditions. And then when individuals fulfill the conditions, then they become predestinated. It's very important that you understand that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Just look at that quickly. 1 Peter 1, 2. Let's read together. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is a process that describes what God does. You know, there's another scripture in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts is perfect towards him. So you see, right, the pastor explained it beautifully. You know, from when we are young, God already is looking at the heart. He's already looking at everybody's heart. See how we make our decisions, whether we make our decisions for God or against God, and the pattern that we have. So this is done unconsciously, you know, when we're not yet born again, and then when we get born again, the idea is to be able to do it consciously. You know, but you know, that's it just looks at the way we choose. So it is our choice. When we choose God's condition, then we slot ourselves into God's plan. And automatically we become predestinated. We become foreknown. God doesn't foreknow anybody, but once you make the right choice, you become foreknown. Because once you make that right choice, God releases mercy. That sincerity of heart to align our will with the will of God attracts the mercy of God, which is the disposition, the undeserved disposition of God to give life to us from outside. So that life comes upon our mind, upon your soul, upon your body. My own too, anybody, Christian or non-Christian. This is the heart issue now. Once you act in sincerity, mercy flows. You understand? And that mercy brings you to obedience. Take us back to First Peter chapter 2. Thank you. Through sanctification unto obedience. So you can see that obedience is back there. You know? So really, that's why the Bible says that the Gentiles, having not the law, Romans chapter 2:14. You know, when they do the law, they do it by nature. Do the law. The Bible says they become a law unto themselves. You know, and so how is the Gentile doing it? By the mercy of God. It's still God doing it, working in the Gentile. It's still God. And that's where we come from. So you can see that alignment. We now it works to help us to obey God, and through successive acts of obedience, as we keep accepting God's thoughts. So there's a choice we have to make. When we accept the thoughts of God, when you say yes to the will of God, then it helps you to say yes the next time, because each one attracts mercy. It helps you say yes, so it's easier to say yes the next time. And that's why you find some people that they're not Christians but have a very high moral standard, and they have a very high standard of excellence and high standard of everything they do. Why? It's the mercy of God working. So you can understand, and you can, a very good example here, you know, is Ruth. Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards the thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. So God has an expected end. So as you are, those acts, you don't know, but those actions you are agreeing to and aligning with, they are taking you to an expected end. And we're going to get that expected end in Jesus' name. So obedience is one step at a time. And you can see Ruth, right from being a Moabitess, far from out of the will of God, by successive actions. By successive actions. Each act. One act prepares you for the next one. And the next one prepares you for the next one. Until God to and say, no, don't let, I cannot go. Until you made a covenant decision. No, to follow Naomi to destiny. Unbeliever. And then went all the way to be the grandmother. And she entered into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about God being fair to all. God is fair to all, brethren. So when he says we are elect according to the foreknowledge, he's talking about the fact that we have made the right choices. And we have aligned ourselves. So ultimately, mercy will bring you, because the Bible says no man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. John 6:44. So really, ultimately, God will bring, just like Cornelius. God brought Cornelius to Jesus Christ. So it's not only mercy or praise now. You now have grace, which is the disposition, the undeserved or unmerited disposition of God to give life to us in our spirits operating. So we now have two fountains. There's a fountain on the outside. It's called mercy. And there's a fountain on the inside. It's called grace. Both fountains release eternal life. That's what he does. So he releases eternal life. And that eternal life is now what makes us able, to obey God and to grow in love. So as eternal life flows in us in increasing measure, let's go back to Colossians 3:12 now. Yes. So now understand when he says, put on therefore as the elect of God. The life of God flowing in you makes you holy. You are holy. You are holy because your spirit is regenerated. And the same life in your spirit is now flowing to our souls, is flowing to our bodies. So we are holy in our spirits. And we are becoming more holy in our souls. And we will be holy, spirit, soul, and body. So holiness is a progressive thing. So when he says holy, don't say, I'm not holy. You are. If you are born again, you are holy. Amen. All right. But there's a truth in it that we should also become more and more holy. Amen. We become holy and you become beloved. You are beloved. You become dear to God. Because you now have a bit more of God. Every human being has some God in them. But when you have Christ inside you, you have a little bit more God. You become dear. You become precious. The Bible says, like precious faith. That thing inside you is far more precious than anything. That's why we shouldn't use it only for physical things. That is very important because you become dear. You as a person are precious to God. You become like the apple of his eye. It's really true. All right? Okay. Thank you. Right? Go back. Okay. So he now says, holy and beloved. He now talks about the fact that we put on as the elect of God, bowels of mercies. Now this is very important. Look at John 15 verse 5. Eternal life flowing inside us is what enables us to bring forth fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit. John, let's read together. I am the vine. Who's speaking here? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, man. So he says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It's very important. Without Christ, the what is flowing in the vine must be flowing in the branch. That substance is called eternal life. And as it flows in increasing measure, it is that degree to which the person can now walk in divine love. That's what he's saying. All right. So the one when he talks about bowels of mercies is so important. Look at Jude 1:21. Very quickly, it's a Bible study, so we have to look at these scriptures. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So he's telling you that mercy releases what? Eternal life. Bible talks about being heirs of the grace of life. So grace also releases life. So I just want to show you. So when he talks about bowels of mercies, what does he mean? He's talking about a conscious awareness and dependence on God's mercy that releases life. It's not of him that willeth, brethren. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. So even though we are born again and we have a divine connection with God, we have the grace of God and we are saved, we still need to be consciously dependent on the mercy of God. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. To be able to be faithful, to be able to be preserved, and to be able to triumph. We're not looking at that. We know we're well taught. You know, we have different scriptures. You know, Lamentations 3:22 talks about mercy to be preserved. You know, mercy to be faithful, 1 Corinthians 7:25. And then, of course, mercy to triumph is a combination of James 2:13 and James 13, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So you have mercy at different levels. But what I'm saying is that you need bowels of mercy. Just means God's bowel towards you is open. It's increasingly open. Because you are increasingly honest. You are increasingly sincere. So you keep getting more and more and more mercy. That's what it talks about, bowels of mercies. And you know, when you release that mercy, that mercy is what enables you to now walk in the next things he mentions. Let's say them together. Next, give us verse 12. Are we getting something out of this? Amen? Good. It's good. Just to make sure that you understand what we're saying. Alright? After bowels of mercy, what's the next one? Kindness. And next one? Humbleness. Next one? Meekness. Next one? Long-suffering. These are four core divine attributes. They are fruits of the Spirit. Amen. But it's mentioned these four because they play such a core role in all the others. You know, they are very important. What is kindness? Kindness is being considerate, being friendly, being helpful, thinking about others, not about yourself alone. That's being kind. You know, you there are acts of kindness. It's coming from the life of God working inside you. Amen. Humbleness of mind is thinking of ourselves in the light of the Word of God. You know, you don't think of yourself, you know, according to what you are doing, according to your actions, positively or negatively. Because if you think about yourself, about actions positively, you get proud. If you think about yourself negatively, you get condemned. The Bible says to forget the things that are past. You don't measure yourself by your action. You measure yourself by the Word of God. How much Word am I walking in? That is humbleness of mind. Notice it's in the mind. Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a man. It's very important. So it's in the mind. You do whatever God's Word says. That's what I agree with. That's what I keep in my mind. It's a state of keeping that in your mind. So it's humbleness of mind. Talking about humbleness of mind or humility. Then meekness, which is openness to accepting truth. It's very important. You know, many times the sin nature hates truth. We hate truth. So when someone gives it to the vessel, is to attack the vessel. And say, what about you? Look at pot calling kettle black. Leave the pot alone and you get to face your own. Amen. Remove the log that is in your own eye. Meekness. Openness. You are willing. You go out in search of the truth. Bible says God desires truth in the inward parts. You know, you're looking for truth. You know, not that they bring truth. Truth shouldn't be coming to you. You should be going after truth. Amen. As we grow, God wants us to be going after you seek the truth. And you know, when you seek the truth, you cannot be deceived. Because God will not allow you to be deceived. Because your motive is pure. God will not allow that. But you know, if you love hearing a lie, then you will easily be deceived. And you will attract sycophants and flatterers. And then you wonder why you made a mistake. Because the people you surround yourself with, you must love truth. Look for truth. So it's talking about meekness there. And then about long suffering. Let's say if you are long suffering. It's suffering inconvenience caused by others for a long period of time. Amen. Suffering inconvenience. It's not, you know, God shows long suffering towards us. The Bible says God is long suffering to us, word. Not willing that any should perish. He didn't do anything. He's the one. So long suffering is peculiar. Is you are suffering something that you didn't do by yourself. It's not the consequence of... If you suffer for your foolishness, there's a part there. Yeah, I have to pay. This one is not... That's not long-suffering. So if you are going through something that you caused, just take it patiently. And just, Lord have mercy. And take me out. Just bring me out. Amen. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Where you suffer, you endure long. It starts with long. And you endure long. You know, something that you think of, so you endure people. You endure the mistakes. You endure. You understand what I mean? You endure the infirmities. And these four called divine, they are spiritual forces. The force of long suffering, the force of humbleness of mind, the force of meekness, and the force of kindness. They are spiritual forces. They are generated in the place of prayer with the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's power coming out. So when you do something, don't worry, I forgive you. Long suffering. This person suffers, it's okay. It's not a big deal. It's fine. Whereas some other people get angry. You didn't use my title. You didn't call me by my name. Or Robin. You can tell how much of the fruit is available and is around. These are the things we're looking for. He's saying that you should put on. Everybody say, put on. Put on. So we put on these forces. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. I can see that, you know, I mean, there are other fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. But these ones, they sort of allow the others to have a place to flourish. Look at Ephesians 4, 1 to 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. Or you walk worthy of being like Christ. Next verse. With all lowliness and meekness, with what? Long suffering, forbearing one another in. You can see how it works. Right there, you have meekness and lowliness. They always go together. Just learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Lowliness is acting on what meekness has accepted. But you know, you cannot act on what you have not accepted. That's why meekness is key, because when meekness accepts it, then lowliness would, now it just kicks in. Do you understand? Because it's the same force. This is the force of life. It's the force of love. So you can see there meekness. You can see there long suffering. And after, so when these forces are in operation, you can see them in manifestation. These are not social skills. You can train a person, you know, be meek, you know, don't be a mama she gara gara. You know, when people come, you got social etiquette. But you know, in the fire, the serpent will always show up. Amen. You know, the serpent is the paparazzi shared that with us. The serpent is the sin nature. Now, when you set a test, Bible says that the day shall declare it, what the type of work every man is doing. The day shall make it manifest. So when situations will come to everybody, it comes to everybody. But some people, because there is a force behind their actions and their behavior and their words and their lifestyle, when the stuff comes, it just bows. And you see the fruit in operation. And some people, the fruit is the last thing on their mind. They've forgotten everything. Patience. He's trying to cheat me. What are you talking about? Long suffering. Also, like, that one is for another day. This one, I'm not going to agree. Do you understand what I mean? So it's important that we understand they are not social skills. You can train a person in doing it, but when the pressure comes, the day will sort out what you're doing. That's why it's good to build on a sure foundation. What's that foundation? The foundation of the instructions we have been given. Amen. You clean your heart with the blood. You load it with the word. You know, with the life of God, using the word of God. You make your prayer request in line with the word of God, and you fire by the Spirit. Then you commune with God all day long. You fast, make it the habit to fast once a week. Now you lead a fasted life. You put those things in place anywhere you go. When the test comes, whether you are ready or not ready, it will just show. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. All right. Okay. So let's go on to the next verse. All right. Forbearing one another and forgiving. So when these forces are in operation, the force, let's say, what are the forces again? The force of kindness, the force of meekness, the force of humbleness of mind, and the force of long suffering. When they're in operation, you can see others coming out. These are the foundation forces. You know, so when then forbearance now begins to show. What is forbearance? Forbearance is tolerance. Not the one that you are tolerating and you are I'm waiting. You are not forbearing. That is not forbearance. That is waiting for your brother to fall. Forbearance is a force that releases goodwill. It's goodwill. I am tolerating it and I am doing it with a heart of goodwill. I'm not counting. One, two, you will stay for a long time. Bible says 70 times 7 per day. Continue counting. Frustrating yourself. Stop counting and forbear. Somebody forbeared for you to be where you are. Jesus forbears you every day. Your mistakes, your infirmity. I know people can't see, but Jesus can see. So as Christ also is forbearing you, you also forbear others. Amen. Amen. And then forgiveness. Forgiveness begins to operate. You can see now. So when I have six of them working. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? It's a decision of the will to release those who have wronged us. You release it. You release it as an act of your will. Now we must forgive as Christ forgave us. Because in Matthew 18:22, we saw that. 18:21 and 20, we saw Peter ask, how many times a day should I forgive my brother? 70 times. Just guys said that. 70 times, 7 times a day. Per person. So with all the people in your life, that's times 1, 2, 3, somebody forgave you too. Somebody forgave us too. Amen. So as Bible says, as Christ also forgave us. Thank you. Go back to that scripture. It says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. When no matter how bad the person is, when you think of you and Christ, everything that is making you feel self-righteous is just like putting a pin in a balloon. Just escapes. Because of Christ. Otherwise, do you want God to retain your sin? So rather than let God retain your sin, forgive and let go. It's enlightened self-interest. Don't just forgive. For when you are forgiven as an act of will, back it up with spiritual power. This is not spiritual, because forgiveness is a will thing. But if we don't continue with spiritual power, your mind will not let go. I don't know whether you've been there before. Can you hear the fear? You ignore it. It will remind you until you have to take notice. I don't know whether it happened to you before. So you know what you do? Do what Pastor taught us. 1 John 5:16. You ask life for them. And then you pray for them in tongues. As you are praying for them, guess what? You are praying for yourself. Because you are praying in tongues. And you know, you feel better. So you know what? You now pray more. Pray more, pray more, pray more, pray more. You know, in fact, you can't remember. Now, what did he do? No, because sometimes we hold grudges. We walk in malice. And we can't even remember what was the original sin. I don't know whether you've been... I'm talking about myself. I don't know whether you're more righteous than me, you know. So sometimes you can't even remember which one are we talking about. Is it the one 2 years ago or the one last year? I'm not even sure again. Forget. Erase the whole board. Just erase the whole board and let the person have a free slate. And then you can also enjoy a clean slate with God. Amen. Very important. Verse 14. Next verse. As we begin to close. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Give this to me in the Message Bible. Let's read it together. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And regardless of what else you put on, and regardless of what else you put on, wear it is your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And that's message. That's message. Amen. All right. So So you know, when you walk in these things, you get stretched in divine love. Length, breadth, depth, and height. But you know, that's how to grow. Love is the most powerful bond there is. That's why I call it the bond. Is the, I don't know how to put it, is the glue. Thank you, sir. Is the glue of perfection, of perfectness. So when that love, when that bond is there, it's a two-way bond, by the way. It's a bond between you and God that allows life to flow to you and others. So it's both vertical and horizontal. And it ushers in perfection in all of our relationships. We learn the truth in church from the word of God. So it affects your relationship with people in church. But more importantly, it goes into relationships that are not in church. The ones at home. My brother says, he's a good man. Talk to his children and find out. Is he really a good man? That's his dad. Talk to a houseman and find out. That's the truth. You know, because sometimes we are experts at hiding things. Have one front on top. There should be no front, brethren. This love must permeate into all our relationships, from church to home, from home to society, from work, family, extended family. You must be the same everywhere. The same way you are in church, but the same outside with extended family. It's the same. It's the same. And it's possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at Ephesians 4:16. Look at Ephesians 4:16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We need to begin to... By whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. A joint is a relationship between two parts. I have a joint here, elbow. It has this part and this part joined together. So the relationship between you and one person is a joint. Now imagine how many joints exist. We build love joint by joint. We build it joint by joint. It's not something you just do in abstract. That's why sometimes it takes time to do things properly. And covering, of course. You know. So we build love joint by joint. You know, and the Bible talks about the measure. It says, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Make it increase. So the increase comes from the effective working of the parts through the joints. It's very important. So how diligent is the part working? How effective is the part working? That's what affects how much love is coming out. That's why, brethren, to be effective, we must be sincere. Be sincere so you can attract mercy. And then when you receive grace, be diligent to use it properly. Amen. So we have sincerity and diligence. Be sincere and be diligent. Don't excuse things. Don't look down on any relationship. Proverbs 17:8. A gift is as a precious thing in the eyes of him that had it. Everywhere it turneth, it prospers. You can't tell me that you are walking in love in toward people in church, and then your people that are that you meet, you know, in your family house. Those ones are a special crew. No, it's the same standard of love. Divine love. Now, you may not be as close to them as others, but you still do the same thing. Long-suffering, meekness, forgiveness, forbearance. Those things must still be there. You owe them that. Bible says, owe no man anything except to love him. You owe them that. Brethren, God will help us to pay the debt we owe. Amen. Now, when love is built, it becomes an impregnable fortress. That's the good part about the love thing. You know, it can be hard going for some time, but brother, when the devil comes in knocking, love speaks for us under covering. Amen. It's very important. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 33. This was very interesting to me. Romans 8, 33. It's talking about the discourse. Paul is talking about the discourse, and he's talking about, let's read it. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God the Father that justifies. Next verse. Who? Notice how many who's now? Two. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is in the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's God the Son. Amen. Next verse. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Notice talking about who? It is a who that can separate you from love. It's not a what. It is a who. Look at it. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? It's not a who, it's a what. Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or so? These are circumstances. It's telling you that if the who cannot separate you, the circumstances cannot separate you. That's what it's telling you. Amen. Jump to verse 37 quickly. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through who? That loved us. It's still a who. Now look at the verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither, that's why you walk in love, who? Neither, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Next verse. Nor height, nor death, nor any other creature. So there are things and there are creatures that seek to separate us from divine love. But he's saying that both of them cannot do it. They cannot separate us from love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. If the who is in place, the what and the creatures cannot separate you. The only person that can separate is ourselves. So don't delay to walk in love. Always understand it. Love is a fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's where we hide. We're in the day of trouble. And those days don't select, they come to everybody. Amen? They don't, doesn't pick one person above another person. So do you know, as you are walking in love, you are preparing. You are hiding yourself in the secret place of the Most High. I mean, we like to call it the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High. But, you know, you must put yourself inside. It's not going to come to you. You go to it. By walking in love. Amen. All right, verse 15 as we close. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Brethren, see, love has reward. It has huge reward. We just saw the fact that, you know, you live in an impregnable fortress where Satan cannot touch you. Bible says, 1,000 shall fall at the side, 10,000 at the right hand. It shall not come near you, only with your eyes. That's your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. But above all, now he says, let the peace, the soul harmony. Thank you. Leave it in the amplifier. You're walking in the spirit. Amen. All right. Soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. Act as umpire continually where? In your heart. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you are called to live in. We're supposed to be living in this state. We're living in this state of peace. A peace where peace is a policeman, is a garrison that is surrounding your soul, is in your mind, keeping your mind. You know that's really rest. You know, brethren, as you grow in love, the force of peace. Notice where we began from. We began where? With bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, all that. We are ending now with peace. It brings peace with it. And that peace, you know, is a force. It flows into your mind. And from your mind, where? Guess what? It flows into all your relationships. Bible says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And you will find rest. Is there anybody that needs rest? You need the rest of God. It's available, brethren. This kind of rest, you labor into it. You have to labor in the word, like we said earlier on. Labor in the spirit. Obey instructions. But when you labor and you enter, it will reward you. It will reward you with peace. It will reward you with tranquility. It's a state where God is now in the driver's seat. It's autopilot, but it's now being piloted by somebody. Not the machine itself. That's why it's not autopilot. God is in the driver's seat to help us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's just a question of responding to God. He will tell you, do this, and you flow. Because of the sincerity, do that, and you do it. Because of the diligence. So you keep yourself in that love. It's being born by the Holy Spirit where he wants you to go. Look at John 21:18. Jesus talking to Peter. John 21:18. As we round up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verily, verily. Let's read together now, brethren. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou did what? You get it, that you will protect yourself and prepare yourself. When I will do this, I will do that. That's girding yourself. And walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, by reason of use, by reason of relationship, thou shalt do what? Stretch forth thy hands. Absolute trust. That's rest. You just say, take me anywhere. I trust you. Anywhere you do. Thou shalt stretch, and another shall what? Gird thee. He will prepare you. He will say, no, God can tell you every detail about what you want to do. Progressively, by faith, and guide you. It's rest, brethren. You are doing it without the stress of everybody around. You know, they are still doing it. They are doing what everybody's doing, but you're not doing with the stress that they are doing it with. God is taking the stress off you. That's the place of rest. That's what God wants us to enjoy. He is now our God and our friend. He's supplying your every need for every situation. So we learn to always trust and obey. When you are in this state, gratitude automatically flows spontaneously from your heart. If you can't talk to pastor and mommy, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because it's flowing from the heart. It's not, no, there's thank you in your mouth. Then there's thank you from your heart that influences your thoughts and your actions. It's not the same. When you practice love over and over and over, you change that heart. It stops going in its own direction and learns to follow what God wants it to do. And then gratitude begins to flow spontaneously. And all of this is because of the flow of eternal life. We go back to eternal life. It's eternal life working through love. And that brings us to a place of rest. I would say, labor therefore to enter into rest. But when you get into rest, you get into a fortress where Satan cannot touch you. You get into a place where peace now encompasses you round about. You get into a place where direction now becomes just a normal lifestyle. That's the place God wants to take us to. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. God wants to take you into that place of rest. But it's every relationship, joint by joint. Look at it critically. And let God help you. God will help us, brethren. Let's repent, ask him for mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And repent in sincerity. This is a divine plan. The Bible says you are elect. It starts with sincerity. Always look at what God said, what the Word said, not what people said, and stay with what God said. Even if you're alone, it's called sincerity. It brings with it mercy. Mommy taught us, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. It takes you into obedience and ultimately to the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. And that you walk in love, you grow, and peace and rest. A tranquil state of soul where you cease from your own labors. That's where God is taking us. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. shadow can rise, nor a cloud in the skies. But his smile quickly drives it away. But his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear.
Not a doubt or a fear.
Not a sigh or a tear.
Not a sigh or a tear.
Can abide while we trust and obey.
Can abide while we trust and obey.
Fellowship sweet.
Then in fellowship
we will sit at his feet.
We will sit at his feet.
Or will walk by his side in the way.
Or will walk by his side in the way.
What he says we will do.
What he says we will do.
Where he sends we will go.
Where he sends we will
never fear, only trust and obey.
Never fear, only trust and obey.
We will trust and obey.
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let us now pray. Raise up your right hand to God, put your left hand on your heart. We pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that it is your will to lead me by the hand to everywhere that you want me to go, to supply all of my needs, to direct all of my paths. Father, I thank you, and I desire to trust and obey. So teach me, Lord, to clean my heart by the blood of Jesus, to load my heart with the life of God, to fire by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the power of love will flow out of my heart into my soul and will manifest in my thoughts, in my actions, in all my joints, all my relationships with men and with God, so that I will grow and increase in the love of God and in the peace of God, and it will bring me into friendship and fellowship with you, my King, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapakaka zekedevebedi kokotumna. Rapakaka zekedevebampam pekalevamanta. Rapakaka shekedevebedi. Rapakayo relelebetwaka. Rakase jekalamato balean rebakat. Rapakaka rekelomo mekelevede rekekako jekedevebatanta. Repambaya rambeve rababani opesata. Rendevede rendevede yodo relelebesata renabela. Cario, rene leve, jeca leve be damai, bele leve sumantanka, renga de lebo sumpankene damai. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.